you know, before we get to the specifics of the piece with Dennis Rodman, I just wanted to get your initial review, your reaction to the first two episodes of The Last Dance.
Well, thanks for having me, Josh and Joe, and I hope you guys are and your families are safe as well. My reaction was that I found it great entertainment. It's just what we need, right, at this point. And I am a little bit surprised that it's looking back so much, because I think the build up to it was that we were going to be treated to all this never before seen footage from the 97-98 season. I know there's a lot of episodes to go, but I was kind of expecting more of that insidery, sort of inside the huddle on the bench kind of stuff that that I'm hoping that we get coming up. But for the most part, I think it's a masterful vehicle for Michael Jordan, for one thing. I think it's riveting, and it's going to give us some looks at that world that we haven't had before.
In the first two episodes, Tim, we saw, of course, the kind of general overlook on Jordan's career, and episode two kind of focused a little bit more on Scottie Pippen. Given that you've seen Dennis Rodman and spoken to him up close, what are you expecting out of the inevitable look of The Last Dance that will focus on Rodman whenever it does come out?
Well, I think you might expect to see it sooner rather than later. There's my little tease. I expect it to be to show, in terms of that season, how important he was to that team with Scottie Pippen being out, and how he and Jordan created sort of a bond at that point, because Jordan needed him in ways that he didn't need him prior to Pippen's injury. And I think there's going to be obviously a lot about Dennis, the showman, and the flamboyant side of him. A lot of stuff happened. I'm curious to see how deeply it goes into a lot of the things that happened during that particular season. You know, Dennis going off to Las Vegas late in the season, getting kind of a vacation. And you know, I think there's a good chance that there's a sort of a overarching theme of Phil Jackson being able to sort of juggle all these different egos and personalities as well as he did at that time when there was so much tension surrounding the team.
Your piece really dives into, you know, the character that Dennis Rodman was, and, you know, all the stuff that he got up to, and just how, you know, polarizing he was in NBA circles. And I think about it, you know, these days with social media and how under the microscope every athlete is and every action they do and undertake is, do you think that somebody like Dennis Rodman will probably never see something like that in an athlete again, with how much pressure and scrutiny on every detail athletes, you know, sort of accept these days when they get drafted or play in their respective league?
Well, it's interesting to look at how much things have changed. And I think it would be so much harder for an athlete to be as openly outrageous as Dennis was. If you just think, my tiny role in this was that I wrote Bad As I Want to Be with him. And the fact that that came out while he was an active player and so openly, like, took shots at other players like David Robinson and Karl Malone and people that he didn't, that his various grievances. And I just think that if when was that might be the last time that happened. I mean, now you're not getting guys writing these books that are controversial. I mean, everybody's avoiding controversy. Everything is micromanaged. Every athlete at the level of a Dennis Rodman or a Michael Jordan has his own production company now, so they don't even have to go through the media. I mean, everything is very, very highly polished and produced. So yeah, I just think that time, and it doesn't really feel like that long ago. I mean, that team feels somewhat modern, especially with the way that they were treated and the attention that they got. But yeah, I just think that in this day and age, you'd be hard-pressed to find an athlete who's willing to sacrifice or potentially sacrifice his career and his earnings the way Dennis was to be so outspoken.
And kind of on that same note, Tim, you wrote in your article that people who never cared about basketball cared about Dennis Rodman. And that was certainly true for a lot of people that I think all three of us know. I mean, like my mom, for example, who instantly loved that he, you know, championed causes that you had never really seen athletes do before. And I guess my question to you is it crazy to say that Rodman perhaps in some small way paved the way for making it okay for athletes to do that same sort of thing today? Of course, it's magnified with social media, but even so.
Yes, and I think that, you know, definitely his acceptance of people from different backgrounds and his, really his kinship with them, right? Because he was not he did not go through high school as the pampered athlete. He didn't even play in high school. He was picked on. He was bullied. He was not somebody that people wanted to be around. I mean, he was an odd and mama's boy as a child. He's very open about that. And it gave him a connection even when he got to the point where he was at the level of anybody in sports at the time. It gave him a connection to people because he never really shed that idea that he was the outsider. He felt like he was the outsider when he was winning three championships with the Bulls. So, and I think that, you know, if you think about when he put the AIDS ribbon on his hair in San Antonio at a time when there was so much widespread homophobia, and that for an active athlete of that caliber to just so openly say, I'm in, you know, we're in this together. I hear you. Just to see that symbol change people's lives, you know, I mean, it gave them somebody in sports that seemed to get it. And that was before every team had until there's a cure day and all this, you know, it was not sanctioned by the NBA by any stretch, or even less sanctioned by the Spurs at that time.
Tim Kuhn is with us, senior writer for ESPN, Josh Goldberg, Show Ali across the Sportsnet radio network. So, you know, it was clear in San Antonio, it didn't go great, and the patience was running out when it came to Dennis in general and just the NBA. So if the Bulls in 95 were not prepared to take on the risk of bringing him in and confident that they could absorb what he brought to the table, would he have been out of chances? Like, would that have been the end of his NBA career?
I think it's worth pondering. That's not really an answer, but I do think that looking back, we kind of forget just how toxic he was at that time. He had openly feuded with the Spurs. They were willing to give him away to anyone who would take him. Had he not gone to the Bulls and had ended up in some, you know, basketball outpost somewhere where he didn't have the connection to a coach like Jackson or the connection to a star like Michael Jordan. I mean, it's pretty clear that he was on a path to maybe signing a couple 1-year contracts and being released if it didn't work after 10 or 15 games. He was going to be on a really short leash anywhere else he went. But going to the Bulls, I think saved his career and made it, really.
And do you think then, and I know you kind of alluded to this as well, and you talked about this in the piece as well, but Phil Jackson, I feel like, you know, he's kind of out of the limelight as opposed to when he was with the Bulls and, of course, with the Lakers later on. But how much good do you think someone like Phil Jackson specifically, with the almost preternatural calm that he brought to most things, bring to Rodman's career after the trade?
No, Dennis loved him. It was the closest thing he had had to Chuck Daly, who was his first coach with the Pistons and was really a father figure to him. But, you know, that was a different time in Dennis's life. I mean, he was a naive, just a guy right out of, you know, southeastern Oklahoma. And when he got to the Bulls, he had already sort of burned through several coaches and teams. And Jackson just found a way to connect to him. in part because Jackson was kind of an oddball when he played, you know? I mean, he was sort of a counterculture guy, and I think that there was a part of him that, first off, that understood what Dennis did on the court was not replicable in any other human, and also that that if he treated him, you know, didn't treat him with punitively every time he did something wrong, that he would stand a chance at getting the best out of him.
Tim, I feel like one of the big themes, at least from the first two episodes, and I feel like for going forward for this Last Dance docuseries, is relationships and, you know, Scottie and Michael's relationships, Jerry Krause's relationship with Phil Jackson, with Michael, on and on down the list. And one that I imagine we're really going to get a sense of as soon as tomorrow night is the relationship between Michael Jordan and Dennis. So, you know, from your vantage point, your experiences, what was the dynamic of the relationship between Dennis and MJ?
Well, it was one of actually mutual respect. I mean, Jordan talks about how Dennis was maybe the smartest player he ever played with, that he picked things up so quickly. He had a sense of patterns and the geometry of the game that other players didn't get nearly as quickly. And Dennis, you know, Michael Jordan on the surface was everything that Dennis didn't like about the modern game, which was the, you know, somebody that would be seen as being hyped by the league, somebody who was very polished publicly, who went out of his way not to rub anyone the wrong way. But he respected Jordan immensely and never in my, you know, the time that I was around him while he was playing for him, never said a bad word about him. He understood his greatness and also loved his competitiveness, which was something that was huge for Dennis, was just the guys that would go out every single night and do whatever it took. And that was their connection was on the court. They didn't have much going off the court, but on the court they were tight.
Quickly, one of the interesting, you know, parallels is that Kobe Bryant and Phil Jackson obviously had their relationship with the Lakers, and the Lakers brought in Ron Artest, who was a similar kind of temperamental player to Dennis, certainly not to that degree. And Ron Artest made no secret of wanting Kobe's validation and playing a lot for Kobe's validation. And I know Dennis has been cagey at times when it comes to whether he was seeking MJ's validation and whether he loved MJ on the court. Did you get the sense that Dennis wanted MJ's respect and validation, or it wasn't as important to him?
I think Dennis would probably argue against that, just because he feels he's so self-driven that he would push back against the idea that Michael made him or that he was seeking his validation. I do think, because Dennis had so many insecurities, that I think it was there. And I also think that Dennis saw what that team and Michael Jordan could do for his career, for all the things off the court, whether it was selling a book or going on, you know, going into clubs and having people respect him, and all the validations that he sought off the court and all the different interests that he had were only helped by playing with Michael Jordan and having that connection and winning those championships. And that's what he valued the most from the relationship with Michael.
The piece is up at ESPN.com. The Last Dance: Dennis Rodman embodied the pop culture phenomenon of the 90s Bulls. Really enjoyed it. Really good stuff today, Tim. Appreciate the time. Best to you and your family. Enjoy tomorrow night's episodes and hope to chat again soon.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me, and enjoy the rest of the weekend.